Senator, appreciate the chance to connect. I know your schedule's busy, so thank you for that, first of all.
Well, thank you. It's great to see you in person and be able to talk face-to-face.
We're in a Farm Bill year. Give me an idea as you look at Minnesota. What are the priorities going into this debate?
Well, of course, I have to admit I have sugar on my mind because I've been visiting both with Southern Men as well as American Crystal Sugar today. And so certainly the basic foundations of the Farm Bill, the commodity programs and risk management programs are very important in Minnesota. Minnesota is so blessed because our ag and farm economy is so rich, so diverse. There's so many different pieces to it, and that gives us a lot of resiliency, and it also means that we care a lot about all the different parts of the Farm Bill. So certainly those parts of the bill are a big deal to me. I will be paying particular attention also to the rural development parts of the bill. It doesn't get quite as much attention as the rest of it, but boy, it's really important if you're using those facilities dollars in local communities to help them build out public facilities or working on broadband, addressing some of the real housing shortages that we have in small towns and rural places in Minnesota. So there's going to be a lot to pay attention to.
It's often farmers are talking about commodity prices or what have you, but it's child care, health care, broadband, some of those issues that probably don't get a lot of light shined on.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, the foundation of the farm economy is always important, and there are always going to be, I mean, we know it, there's always going to be, you know, a dozen things that are adding to the complexity of trying to run a business in agriculture. But at the end of the day, in communities, you need that broadband, you need housing, you need child care, you need kind of the infrastructure, including roads and bridges, you need that infrastructure to be working for you.
So certainly farm input costs have been extremely high. Commodity prices are high, too, but the margins have been squeezed. Does that help? Does that influence us as we go into this Farm Bill discussion?
Well, it certainly is a factor as we think about the economic issues that farmers are facing. As we came out of the pandemic, we had real challenges with input prices being high. Those supply chains were all kinked up, and that made it difficult. And as Minnesota farmers have said to me, those input prices, what goes up does not necessarily come down. I mean, often the prices for chemicals and nutrients goes up, and then it doesn't come back down again. And I'll tell you, I worry about some of the concentration in the ag sector and what impact that has if you're thinking about fertilizers, for example, or seed, and how that just puts a lot of market power in the hands of those big companies. I think that's something that many of us on both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats, are interested in looking at as we think about how can we make it economic for people to be in farming. I mean, most farm families, you have to have two jobs, and including a job out off the farm in order to make it work economically.
So we look back since the last Farm Bill. We've had a lot of ad hoc spending with the pandemic. You mentioned trade wars, weather considerations. Does that complicate things with the dollars that have been used there into the tight budget scenario we're now?
Well, we will be, we are waiting for sort of what the baseline will be for the Farm Bill, and that'll be really important. I think it's important also that we don't cannibalize the progress that we've made. And here's what I mean by that. In the Inflation Reduction Act, we were able to include $20 billion to help on-the-ground existing farm programs that work really well, that farmers and ranchers like, especially around conservation and conservation for working lands. I don't want to see us lose that benefit as we move into this next Farm Bill and have it get sort of chewed up or cannibalized by other programs. So in that sense, I think we should think about this as starting from a higher base and protect that base, especially when you think of working land conservation programs, which in some cases are oversubscribed 3-to-1. We fixed that problem in the Inflation Reduction Act, and we shouldn't go backwards.
Margins are tight in both chambers as far as the majority. How do you push through any major piece of legislation, Farm Bill, immigration, some of these things that agriculture really needs?
Well, you mentioned immigration, which has been such a challenge, and as I think people feel pretty impatient that there's such a need to address some of the shortages of workers that we have in farm country, whether it's seasonal workers or long-time workers if you're in dairy or, you know, pork or beef. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, no pun intended. It's going to be hard to get something done there in the divided legislature. But on the good side, the Farm Bill is traditionally a bipartisan bill. It's a place where you find a lot of agreement across lines of party lines. And so I think you've got to be optimistic about it. Everybody around here is saying that the Farm Bill is one of two or three must-pass bills for 2023. It has to get done. We can't let it go unauthorized. And I'll say in the Senate with Chair Stabenow and Ranking Member Bozeman, there's good bipartisan cooperation, and I think that they have already started to work with our colleagues on the House side. Of course, in Minnesota, we are thinking that this is the first farm bill that we've done without Chair Peterson at the helm over on the House side, but so we'll miss him, but we'll still be able to get really good work done. And I'm excited about on the Senate Ag Committee, I'm going to be chair of the subcommittee on commodities, risk management, and trade. And that will be a place that'll be where there's a lot of opportunity to get good work done.
Talk about the big three. That's huge for your constituent.
Yes, it'll be really big. We just got that nailed down over the last day or two. I think you might be the first person I'm telling that to. So I'm looking forward to it. And I'm sure that my ranking member, I know last session, the ranking member was John Hoven. I don't know whether it'll be John again, but he'd be a great partner because we do a lot of work together.
I saw today the U.S. Trade Representative's office made an announcement on dairy challenging through USMCA, the Canadian dairy policy. Your take on what's happening on that front?
Well, look, you know, we worked really hard to make some headway on those dairy provisions with the USMCA, and it's important that both sides live up to the bargain. And I think that too often Minnesota producers and U.S. producers have been at a disadvantage with some of the barriers that Canada has put up. So I haven't seen the fine print of what it is that she's working on, but I think it's important that we have good accountability with these trade deals.
Appreciate, again, the chance to connect.
Thank you so much. Great to see you.